was hard to climb. The cross bore down upon his back, but the weight of it was mine. With all of heaven watching, he didn't have to stay. Yes, all the while he knew he could have simply walked away. He could have simply walked away, left the cross where it lay. He could have simply walked away from all the agony and shame. But his love was greater still than the sorrows of the hill. I'm so glad he didn't simply walk away. No one would have blamed him if he'd refused to die. For this is far too much to ask for a sinner such as I. But even through the bleeding, as the sky was turning black, he walked straight up the mountain with my sin upon his back. He could have simply walked away, left the cross where it lay. He could have simply walked away from all the agony and shame. But his love was greater still than the sorrows of that hill. I'm so glad he didn't simply walk away. Jesus' love was greater still than the sorrows of the hill. I'm so glad he didn't simply walk away.
All right, thank you so much. Thank you for being faithful tonight. It's been a while since I've been here on a Thursday night. It's good to see a lot of faithful people here on a Thursday night. And I usually don't tell jokes, but I'll tell a joke here tonight. There was a lady, and she went and knocked on her son's room, and she said, "Come on, it's time to go to church. It's Sunday. Start getting ready. Open the door." And her son in the back said, "Nah, I don't want to go to church. No, I don't want to go. Leave me alone. I want to go back to sleep." And she said, she walked away and took some time. She came back and said, "Son, get out of bed right now. It's Sunday morning. In this house, when it's Sunday morning, we go to church." And he said, "No, Mom, I don't want to go to church. I don't like those people there. They don't like me. I don't want to go." And she knocked again and said, "Son, you're going to go to church whether you like it or not. You're the pastor and you have to be there." Thank you for being faithful on a Thursday night. I know sometimes it's difficult. We come straight from work and you rush around. Many of you maybe grabbed a bite right before you got here. But thank you so much for being faithful. Let's grab our Bibles here and turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter number 23. And let's all stand together if you can, please. Luke chapter number 23. And we'll begin reading here at verse number 44. We'll read a few verses, make a couple comments, and I'll pray you can be seated. Luke chapter 23, we'll begin reading there in verse number 44. The Bible says, "And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit.' And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, 'Certainly this was a righteous man.' And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breast and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things." So here's the picture. we know the story. This is the crucifixion of our Savior, Jesus Christ. But what I want you to do tonight is I want to ask you to put yourself into the shoes or the sandals, if you would, of the disciples. Here they had everything figured out. They had a plan that Jesus was going to return glory back to Israel. They had all these plans. They had it all planned out, but then guess what? Their plans changed. Things didn't work out like they thought they were. Have you ever been there before? When you had everything planned out. This is how it's going to be. This is where we're going to go. This is what's going to happen. We got it all mapped out. It looks perfect on paper or in our mind. And then guess what? Things change. You know, I was a senior in high school. We had an assignment in our English class. Our teacher had us write a letter to ourselves 5 years after we would graduate high school, and write a letter to ourselves kind of predicting how life would be. So I, as a young 18-year-old high school student, wrote a letter to myself and sealed it up there and gave it to my teacher. Then the amazing thing is, 5 years later, my teacher was faithful, and we didn't move. And all of a sudden, I got a letter in the mail. And I looked at that thing. I said, what kindergarten writing is this? Who in the world wrote this? And I said, oh, that looks very familiar. And I opened up that letter. And I began to read what I, 5 years earlier, thought life was going to be like. With a two-car garage, the white picket fence, married with kids. You know, you have all these grand plans of how things are going to work out. But then guess what? Things change. Plans change. Sometimes that happens in life. The title of tonight's message is When God Changes Your Plans. When God Changes Your Plans. And let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Help us to be able to put all the worries and the burdens and the problems of our life off to the side for a moment for the next 25 minutes or so. I pray that you give us the grace to be able to hear from you. These folks came to church tonight not to hear from some preacher, but they came to church tonight to hear from you. And I pray, Father, that you'd help me as I try to communicate the truth that you've placed upon my heart. I pray that you give us wisdom and have the ability to apply it to life's situations today so that we can honor and glorify you with our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. You know, it will happen more often than not in life. You say what? God will change your plans. You're saying, when God changes your plans, what do we do? What do we do when we had all of our ducks in a row? We had it all mapped out. We had this is what's going to happen here. This is going to happen here. And then guess what? God changes things. Well, tonight I think we'll see three things that can help us as we look at the story to understand what we do when God changes plans in our life. Let me say number one very quickly tonight. Know that plans change. Know that they'll change. We see that in the Bible. The disciples, they misunderstood the scriptures. They thought that Jesus was going to return Israel to their rightful throne. They thought that Jesus had come to return his earthly kingdom. However, obviously we know from the Bible that kingdom will not come until the millennium kingdom reign. But they thought, well, this is going to be the time. We can restore back Israel, the Hebrew people, to the great nation that we once were. with Jesus becoming the new king, there was going to be some freedoms that the disciples were now going to be able to take part in. With Jesus becoming the king, there was going to be some financial security. They were going to be famous. You say, why? Hey, they were friends of the king. But then guess what? Jesus dies and plans change. It happens in life. We see it all throughout the Bible. Paul, in Acts 16, he desired to go to Asia. But then what happened? God changed his plans and sent him into Macedonia. You say, why? Because plans change in life. Yes, you ought to have dreams. And yes, you ought to have plans. But let me remind you tonight that ultimately, God is in control. Hey, young people, you have plans tonight. Well, this is what I want to do when I get older. And this is the career path that I want to take. And maybe some of the girls in here are saying, well, I want to marry a man just like this, and I want this. You know, they have the list there. Man, they're gonna have this, and they're gonna have that. And guess what? Plans change. You say, what happens? Marriage. Then they put on some weight. They don't look so handsome anymore. You say, wow, what in the world happened? Plans change. Maybe parents, you have all these plans for your children. Well, my child's gonna go to this college. They're gonna get this degree. They're going to get this job. They're going to do this. Hey, I know what's going to make my children happy. And then guess what? Plans change. We remind you tonight of Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You guess what? Tonight, God just does things differently. We have a way that we want it planned out. We have a way that we want it mapped out. But then sometimes in life, God changes those plans. I wonder, has God changed your plans tonight? Have you allowed those change in plans to cause you to get a little bit bitter? You say, well, I have this plan. And man, here comes God. He's messing things up. Man, I had it all planned out. And things just aren't working out the way you thought they would. When God changes plans in your life, know it's going to happen. Number one, know that plans change. Let me say number two, ask yourself, is the answer right in front of me? God will change plans in your life. And I believe this, sometimes the answer is right in front of your face. Let's look at Luke chapter number 24, verse number 13. To catch up here, we know that Jesus died. There it says he gave up the ghost. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, and 3 days later he rose from the grave. Now here we come to verse number 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Jesus was right there. They were wondering what happened. They said, hey, there's been a change of plans here. But then guess what? Jesus shows up. He's right there. He's walking in the way. Look at the next verse, verse number 16. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. Say, what is that? That means the change of direction was right in front of their face, but they didn't see it. They didn't see it. The answer was right there. I think a lot of people tonight, the new change of plans or the new change of direction might be right in front of you, but you just don't see it. You know, remember those, don't really see them a whole lot anymore. Used to go to the mall, and they had those pictures there. And when you looked at the picture, it didn't look like a whole lot. It was just kind of a bunch of little tiny designs or whatever. And if you were to stare at it long enough, you know how you can see that picture come out? Anybody remember those? Remember that? Okay, you guys don't remember that? Or you guys just don't want to raise your hand? Okay, I was just wondering. Okay, now let's be honest here. How many of you in here tonight says, I just could never see those things? Anybody like that? Yeah, I know there's people like that. It's like, man, and they'd stare at you, oh, and they couldn't see it. Okay? You know, the key was, if you remember that you could see it, the key was to relax your eyes. In order to see that hidden picture that was right in front of your face, you kind of had to let go. In order for us, in a spiritual application, to see the direction that is right in front of your face, that I believe that sometimes God is trying to change our plans, we have to be willing to let go. Some of us are holding on to our plans so tightly. God says, I'm trying to change your plans. I got better plans for your life. But you say, no, I'm going to hold on to my plans. And the answer is right in front of your face, but you just can't see it. Think about Jesus. Maybe the most famous words in all the Bible, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus says, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus came to the place where he said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Let me ask you a question tonight. Was Jesus' will bad? No, it wasn't bad. You say, why? Because he was God in the flesh. Jesus' will was not bad, but Jesus gave his will, not a bad will, over to a better will. And I think sometimes we might rationalize, well, my plans are not bad plans. I'm not going to be out selling drugs, or I'm not going to be out doing this, or I'm not going to be out doing that. Hey, they're good plans, but God says, I got better plans for you. But we're holding on for dear life. I remember when I was first came to Bible college. Well, back up. When I first got saved in sixth grade, got saved at a Christian camp. And I first got saved, and it wasn't a Baptist church, and it was actually the school, but it was a Nazarene school. And they didn't have preacher boys, and they didn't, call to preach, this and that. And I didn't know how to articulate it. And I remember I went and talked to my teacher who led me to the Lord. I said, my parents didn't go to church. They're unsaved. I went to this school. The only Bible I got was when I went to school in Bible class. And I said, I think God wants me to be a pastor. And she said, wow, great. And she didn't know a whole lot. She said, okay. And she gave me a book by Billy Sunday. And I was in sixth grade. And you know what? I hated to read. I looked at that book. I said, wow, thank you. And I threw it to the side. Never read it. I never read the book. Then I graduated from sixth grade, went to junior high and high school, and went out into the world. Went the way of Cain. Then several years later, fast forward, I end up here at our church. End up going to Bible college. And I remember I got hired on staff my freshman year. And I remember the Holy Spirit said, hey, you remember when you were in sixth grade? I said, no. No way. I've done too many things. I've seen too many things. I've gone too many places. I've been a part of way. No way. And I fought it. I fought it my freshman year. And I liked my freshman year so much, I fought it my second freshman year. And I fought my sophomore year. And I fought my junior year. And you know what I said? I said, I could do this, Brother Pichardo. I could stay here. It's easy. I could work on staff. I could teach an adult class. My kids can go to school here. We'll live close to the church. I could do that. I could do it. It's not bad. But God said, I have something better. And I fought it. And finally, I remember very vividly during a missions revival, the second semester of my junior year, I walked down that aisle in that college chapel right there, and I said, Lord, if you want me to, I'll do it. I don't have much to offer. I don't have any talent. I don't have any abilities. I don't know a bunch of the Bible. I didn't grow up going to church, but whatever I have, I'm going to give it to you. Father, not my will, but thine be done. I think some of us tonight maybe just be holding on to our will. We say, well, it's not a bad will. It's not an evil will. But let me say, hey, if it's not the best, then that's not God's will for your life. Hey, maybe some of us, God wants to change your plans. But I think some of us first, you see, we have to be willing to let go. We got to be willing to let go. We got to be willing to say, not my will, but thine be done. What is it tonight are you holding on to? Whose plans? Is it your plans or are they God's plans? Hey, parents, be very careful with your children. I want my children to be happy, but more than happy, I want my children to do God's will. Parents, the best thing you can do tonight is come down to this old-fashioned altar and lay your children's future on this altar and say, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Plans change. We know that tonight. And the new plan that God may have for you may be right in front of your face, but you first have to be willing to let go of your own plans. Let me say number three, beg God and ask him to open your eyes to the new plans. Beg God and say, God, open my eyes. Hey, the plan, God's change of plans might just be right in front of your face, just like it was for the disciples, but guess what? They didn't see it. Well, let's continue reading the story there. Go back to verse number 15. Luke 24, verse 15, it came to pass that while they communed together in reason, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Verse 26, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Right there he was. There was the change of plans. Things had gotten a little bit different, but they did not see it. If you skip down a few verses, verse 27, he's talking with them as they're walking along the way there. Verse 27, in the beginning, at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh into the village, and whether they went, and thither they went in, and he made as though he would have gone further. You know, like sometimes maybe some of us, you go knock on the door. Maybe you're doing a follow-up visit. You knock on the door. How's it going? Hey, just want to thank you for coming to church on Sunday. And oh, you want to come inside? No, it's okay. It's okay. I just want to stop by just real quick. And you do want to talk to him, right? But you're like, no, it's okay. I'll get you later. You're making as if you'd go a little bit further. I think that's what Jesus was doing right there. He was like, no, it's okay. I got places to go. I got things to do. I got people to see. He made as if he would go a little bit further. But then let's read it. It says there in verse 29, but they constrained him they pleaded with him. They begged him. They implored him. They said, hey, don't go anywhere. They constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent, and he went to tarry with them. Verse 30, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened. You see, I believe that if they would not have constrained Jesus, if they would have not said, hey, please don't leave. Please give me some direction. Hey, please don't leave us. I think he would have just kept on walking. But they begged him. They said, come with us. And what happened? Then their eyes were opened. I think some of us tonight, the answer might be right in front of your face. Maybe some of us tonight have been fighting it for a long time. Tonight is the night that you need to let it go. Maybe some of us tonight, we know that we are not in the exact place that God wants us. Maybe some of us tonight just need to constrain him. Some of us tonight maybe need to come down to this old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, open my eyes. Hey, just like Jacob when he wrestled with God. Hey, let's not be passive about our Christian lives. Let's not be passive about God's plan. But let's say, oh, God, don't leave until you bless me. Open my eyes that I might see the way that you want me to go. Maybe we're like blind Bartimaeus. He could not see. Standing by the highway side. And as Jesus passed by, he said, O son of King David, have mercy upon me. And they said, be quiet. Hush. But what did he do? He cried out the more. And he cried out the more. And guess what? Because he cried out the more, he received his sight. Hey, some of us tonight, maybe we just need to cry out the more. Maybe we just need to constrain and say, oh God, open my eyes. Hey, let's not say, God, I want you to change your plans to fit my plans. Sometimes I think we have all of our plans and we say, God, this is my plans. Bless them. Bless my plans. This is what I want. This is where I want to go. This is who I want to marry. This is who my children. This, hey, God bless these plans when we need to say, no, God, your plans. Open my eyes so I can see your plan. Don't ask God to change his plans. Ask God to change your perspective. But then here it is. Once the disciples let go of their plans, guess what? They saw God's plans. And once they saw God's plans, they turned the world upside down. Yep. There's people out there waiting for you to follow God's plan. Hey, I wonder, has God changed your plans tonight? Hey, know that it's going to happen. Know that it's going to happen. God will change your plans. And the plan tonight might be right in front of your face. And you just can't see it. The key to seeing is letting go. Let go of your dreams. Let go of your desires. Let go of your plans and say, God, beg God and say, God, show me your plans. That's the message for us tonight. When God changes your plans. Let's all stand together.